عجل فرجا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. صلاة على محمد وآل محمد، على محمد وآل محمد. وعجل فرجهم. Dear audience, brothers and sisters, as we discussed on this verse yesterday, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us about the status of our Prophet, about the rank of our Prophet, that the Prophet whom I have sent to you is a great Prophet. As yesterday I told you, God said he is for alameen. He is rahmatan lil alameen. And here I want to tell you something very important, that if you pay attention in the whole Quran in history, God never said to any of his prophets, you are rahmatan lil alameen, except our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now God never said to Adam that you are rahmatan lil alameen. God never said to Nuh that you are rahmatan lil alameen. God never said to Idris that you are rahmatan lil alameen. God never said to Khidr that you are rahmatan lil alameen. God never said to Isa that you are rahmatan lil alameen. Rather, when God Almighty started appointing the prophet, started selecting the prophet, he said in Surah Baqarah, the second surah of Holy Quran, when he selected Prophet Adam, he said, Inni ja'alun fil ardi khalifa. I'm making Adam prophet, I'm selecting him as a prophet, but Adam is prophet only for this land, only for this world. When he selected Prophet Nuh, he said in Surah An-Nuh, Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi. We have sent Nuh to his nation. Nuh is a prophet, but he is for his nation. Lut is a prophet, but he is for his nation. Ibrahim is a prophet, but he is for his nation. Means all other prophets are either for the nation, either for the country, either for the city, either for some people. God never said to them that you are for alameen. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself, he said in the first surah of Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. All the praises to God who is for alameen. So as I am Rabbul Alameen, my beloved Muhammad is rahmatan lil alameen. He is blessing for alameen. He is mercy for alameen. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farj. So you saw that the rank of Prophet, the status of Prophet, because as we are discussing on two subjects, the status of Prophet and later on inshallah we'll discuss on message of Prophet. Now the status of Prophet, God gave such a big status, such a great status to Prophet Muhammad. Now when he gave him such a big status, definitely he made him the most perfect one in this world. When he made someone, when he brought someone to such a high stage, he never brings someone ordinary on this stage. God gave this great status, this great rank to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he sent him to us. But he made him the perfect one. This is the main point. When God is saying, you are for alameen, so he made him the perfect one, that he will never make a mistake, he will never commit a mistake, he will never commit a sin, he will never do anything wrong. And this is what God is saying, that whatever I order him, whatever I command him, he'll say the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Najm, Surah number 53, verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. That the Prophet whom I'm sending to you, he's completely perfect. He never says anything from his own. He never orders anything from his own. He never commands anything from his own. Whatever he says, whatever he orders, whatever he commands is order of God, is wahi, is revelation. وَمَا يَنْفِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. This prophet is infallible. Rank of prophet, status of prophet. The prophet is for alameen. He is the most perfect one. He is infallible. Allahu. Because when God sends someone as a prophet, He will never, as I told you, He will never send an ordinary person, imperfect person. He will send the most perfect person, infallible. Our Prophet is infallible. God is saying that Muhammad, peace be upon him, my beloved Muhammad, he never says anything from his own. Whatever he says is command of God. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And now come and let us see in the history. What did the Prophet say? What did the Prophet order? What did the Prophet command? Whatever he said, it is not his sentence. It is word of God. Allahu Akbar. Now if the Prophet said, Aliyun minni wa ana minhu, Ali is from me and I am from Ali, so that is by order of God. If the Prophet said, Ana madinatul ilmi wa Aliyun babuha, I'm the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate, so that is by command of Allah. If the Prophet said, Ana darul hikmati wa Aliyun babuha, I'm the house of wisdom and Ali is its gate, so it is by command of Allah. If the Prophet said, Ya Ali, Anta Waziri, Anta Khalifati, you are my successor, so it is by command of Allah. If the Prophet said, Ya Ali, Anta wa Shi'atuka fil Jannah, you and your followers are in Jannah, in paradise, so it is by command of Allah. If the Prophet said, Ya Ali, Anta minni bi manzilati Harun min Musa, you are to me, same as Harun was to Musa, so it is by command of Allah. If the Prophet said, An nazaru ila wajhi Aliyin ibadah, look towards Ali is worship, so it is by command of Allah. If this Prophet said, Zayyunu madalisakum bi zikri Ali ibn Abi Talib, decorate your speeches by the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib, so it is by command of Allah. If this Prophet said, Maktubun ala babil jannati Aliyun waliyullah, on the doors of paradise it is written Aliyun waliyullah, so it is by command of Allah. If this Prophet said, Aliyun ma'al Qur'ani wal Qur'anu ma'al Ali, Ali is with Qur'an, Qur'an is with Ali, so it is by command of Allah. If this Prophet said, Aliyun ma'al haqqi wal haqqu ma'a Ali, Ali is with righteous and righteous is with Ali, so it is by command of Allah. And if this Prophet raised the hands of Ali ibn Abi Talib in the Ghadir Khum and said, Man kuntu mawlahu fahadha Aliyun mawla, whoever I'm his mawla, Ali is his mawla, so that is also by command of Allah. The Prophet never says anything from his own. Whatever he says, whatever he orders, whatever he commands, it is order of God. It is command of God. It is word of God. And this is what we see in Bible too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Bible, in Deuteronomy, the name of the chapter, Deuteronomy 18, verse number 18, Bible, Old Testament, Torah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Moses, to Musa, he said, a prophet will come after you. Inshallah, we'll discuss on this topic later on. The Prophet Muhammad will say what I will command to him. Or in other Bibles, I will put my word in his mouth. Or if you see in New Testament, in Injil, Prophet Isa is saying, Prophet Muhammad who will come after me, he will not speak on his own authority. He'll never say anything from his own. He is infallible. He will say whatever God tells him. He will say whatever God orders him. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. A prophet is infallible. A prophet is masoom. Never says anything from his own. Whatever he says, whatever he does, it is order of God. Let us see what else is Quran informing us. Quran is saying all the prophets are infallible. This is what we believe. Ahlul Bayt are infallible. Now let us see from Quran. What is Quran saying? Again, I've recited four verses for you from Surah Najm, Surah number 53, 1, 2, 3 and 4. Now again, Surah number 3, verse number 33. Surah Al-Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. اللَّهُ أَكْبَر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I have chosen Adam, I have selected Nuh, I have selected Ibrahim and Alu Ibrahim, I have selected Ali Imran. Allahu Akbar. Now when somebody objects on these prophets, on all the prophets, on the infallibility of the prophet, he's not objecting on prophets, rather he is objecting on God's selection. God said, I have selected them. Now let me give an example. For example, there are 10 or 20 apples in front of me. They are good apples and bad apples. I've asked one of you, brother, can you please bring for me 5 good apples? I've told you they are good and bad, and I only want the good apples, the best apples. I've told you to bring 5 good apples. And after a while, you brought 5 apples for me. 3 of them were bad. Now, although I told you that they are good and bad, and I only want the best one, you brought 3 bad ones. Now, whose fault is it? Is it apple's fault? Or is the fault of the person who have selected them? Whose fault is it? Definitely, everybody will say it is the fault of the person who have selected, because he was informed, he have been told that they are good and bad, but he didn't care. He selected also the bad ones. Now here Allah is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. I have selected Ibrahim, I have selected Ismail, I have selected Nuh, I have selected Ishaq, I have selected Musa, I have selected Isa, I have selected all these prophets. If you object on them that they can make a mistake, this means you are objecting me that I had made a mistake in selecting them. They cannot make a mistake. They are infallible. Prophets are infallible. Prophets are ma'soom. And Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are also ma'soom. They all are infallible. Let me recite. There are many verses. Just one more verse from Holy Quran. The famous surah, the famous verse. Suratul Ahzab. Surah number 33, verse number 33. What is Allah saying? Allah is saying, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَّهِّرَكُمْ تطهيرا. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. وعجل فرجهم. What is God saying? God is saying that this is my will. إرادة الخالق. إنما يريد الله. This is my will. I am desiring. This is my desire. What? O أهل بيت الرسول, to keep you far from uncleanness and to make you pure. وَيُطَّهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allahu Akbar. Now here, Allah is saying, it is my will. Allah desires this. This is iradatul khaliq. If you object on the infallibility of Ahlul Bayt, if you object on ismat of Ahlul Bayt, of Prophet, peace be upon him, do you know what are you doing? You are not objecting on their ismat. You are not objecting on their infallibility. Rather, you are objecting on iradatul khaliq. When God is saying, I will, this is my desire to clean you, to keep you far from uncleanness, and you are objecting and you are saying that, no, they can commit a mistake, they can do something wrong. So do you know you are wrong here? You are objecting on God, not on Ahlul Bayt, because God is saying, this is my irada, this is my will, this is my desire, that they are far from uncleanness, they are pure, they are tahir. Allahu Akbar. Okay, now the second thing, now let us see who are Ahlul Bayt, the same question which usually has been asked. Who are Ahlul Bayt? So now many Shia writers, even Sunni writers like Tafsir Dhul Mansur, Tafsir Kashaf, Tafsir Ibn Kasir, Tafsir Al-Muharr Al-Wajiz Fi Tafsir Kitab Al-Aziz, and many other Sunni writers are also writing that who are Ahlul Bayt? They wrote that Prophet, peace be upon him, went under the veil. Imam Hassan came, Imam Hussein came, Imam Ali came, Bibi Zahra Salam Allah alayha came. They all came under the veil. Now Prophet raised his hand and said, Allahumma ha'ula'i ahlu bayti. Oh my God, they are my family. And there Gabriel came with this verse, innama yuridullahu liyuzhib ankum rijsa ahlal bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. So now we've seen, I think I've read 5 or 6 verses from Holy Quran which are informing us that Ahlul Bayt are, Prophets are infallible. Prophets are infallible. They are masoom. But the point here, there are many verses. I'm not reciting all the verses. Just I want to ask a question. What is base of Islam? Okay. What is foundation of Islam? What is base of Islam? The base of Islam, the foundation of Islam is Holy Quran. Okay. Now how did we get Holy Quran? How did the Quran reach to us? Via Prophet, through Prophet, peace be upon him. God sent his revelation to Prophet. Prophet got the revelation from God and he delivered it to us. Okay? He informed us. Now, I want to ask those people who said that Prophet is not infallible, who said that Prophet can make mistake, I want to ask them that if Prophet can make a mistake, so he can make a mistake while getting revelation. While getting wahi from God, he can make a mistake while delivering revelation, while informing us that he said something and he forgot something. He forgot the important thing and he said something else to us. Okay? Now, if we say the Prophet is not infallible, if we say the Prophet can make mistake, then Quran will not remain word of God. Because Allah is saying, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. My Prophet Muhammad never says anything from his own. And those people who say that Prophet is not infallible, he can make mistake. What does that mean? That he might make a mistake while getting revelation. He might make a mistake while delivering the revelation. So now if Prophet can make a mistake, na'uzu billah, if he is not infallible, so Quran will not remain the word of God. And when Quran is not word of God, then the base of Islam is finished. The foundation of Islam is finished. So you have to be careful. Don't say that Prophet is not infallible. He is infallible. Ahlul Bayt are infallible. There are many other proofs, inshallah. We can discuss in inshallah future nights. But here we want to see that this is the status of Prophet. He is for Alameen and he is infallible. Now let us see what is the message of infallible Prophet. What is the mission of this infallible Prophet? What is the program of this infallible Prophet? So Allah said in Surah Jum'ah, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. This is the message of Prophet, peace be upon him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is insisting on tazkiyatun nafs. Purify yourself, purify your soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. There are many verses about tazkiyatun nafs. That he is successful who has purified his self, who has purified his soul. And here in Surah Jummah, Prophet's message, Prophet's mission is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify us. But as we discussed yesterday, how can we purify ourselves? As Prophet informed us, by defeating our nafs. By defeating nafse ammara. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisoo. Nafs is your enemy, as Prophet, peace be upon him, said. Going to battlefield, getting injured is a minor struggle. But fighting with your nafs is major struggle. Do you know why? Because when you go to the battlefield, you fight for 5 or 10 years. But when you are fighting with your nafs, it is not for 5 or 10 years. This fight with your nafs, with your ego, with your bad character, is till the end of your life. If you will live for 60 years, if you will live for 90 years, this nafs will continuously misguide you till the last moment of your life. So this is very dangerous, and that's why this is called major struggle. And if you were successful in major struggle, if you were successful in major struggle, then you have purified yourself, you have cleaned yourself. The message of Prophet, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Allahu Akbar. Now yesterday, we reached to this level that how can we purify our soul? I said by defeating nafs. But how can we defeat our nafs? Now today I want to recite a verse from Holy Quran that how can we defeat our nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you want to defeat your nafs, ista'inu bisabri wassalat. You want to defeat your nafs? You want to defeat your ego? You want to defeat your bad character? So defeat it by the help of patience and prayers. Allahu Akbar. It's very important. Now let us see what is patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be patient, and by patience defeat your nafs. If you face any difficulty, if you face any calamity, any problem, for example, you were fired off your job, or your dad died, your mother passed away, your child demised, or you know, you lost your $1 million. Now what we do, what happens to us, we start shouting, screaming, and we become impatient. God is saying, don't become impatient, rather become patient. Allahu Akbar. Sabir. And if you become patient, you will get great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allahu Akbar. If you become patient, if you show patience, Allah will give you unlimited reward. Allah will give you a great reward, which is unlimited. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah. The reward of patience. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah is saying, those people who face calamities, who face difficulties, who face troubles, and they are patient on the musibat, and they said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We are for God and we go back to the God. Allah is saying, if you become patient, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. God is saying, I'll send my peace on them. I'll send my salawat on them. Allahu Akbar. وَرَحْمَةٌ. And I'll send my mercy for them. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet is saying, الصَّبْرُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ كَالرَّأْسِ مِنَ الْجَسَدِ. That patience is head of iman, is head of faith. If you want to become faithful, you have to be patient. And if you pay attention, if you look in the history, that if you become patient, you will get the reward. Actually, there is a ni'mat, there is a blessing behind a calamity, behind a musibat, behind a trouble, behind a problem. There is a ni'mat. How? Now let me tell you the story of Prophet Joseph. And is it in Surah Yusuf? The Prophet Joseph was beloved son of his dad, lived with his dad, lived with his family, living in his city. But suddenly what happened? He was oppressed by his own brothers. He was oppressed by his own brothers. They slapped him, they threw him in the well, they sold him very cheap, and he became a slave. He was in prison for 8 years. He faced all these calamities. He was patient, and he saw what happened. Because he was patient, he got the reward. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابِ, he became the king. Okay? He faced all these troubles, he faced all these problems, he was patient, and he got his ajr. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابِ, he became the king of Egypt. Allahu Akbar. If you become patient, you will get many things. Now you might ask one question, that what is the relation of patience with defeating nafs? Because you said, if you want to defeat your nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ اسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help from patience. Seek help from salat, prayers. Now, what is the relation of defeating nafs with patience? Means, how can we defeat our nafs with patience? Now, pay attention. For example, somebody's dad died. Somebody's mother died. Somebody's loved one died and passed away. Okay? Now, here what happens, sometimes we see, you also see, that because his dad died, his mother died, he stopped screaming, shouting, and accusing God. It was God's fault, he killed my dad, wasn't ill, his wife died, he says, my wife was young, it was God's fault, he killed my wife. You know, who is telling you these things, nafse ammara, to accuse God? Sometimes some people curse God, that, you know, God did this, he is oppressor, he is cruel, na'uzubillah, they say these kind of things. Why? Because they are impatient. God is saying, don't be impatient, be patient. Now, nafs is trying to make you impatient. And when you are impatient, what will happen? You will say that God has oppressed me, God has done something wrong with me, he killed my dad, he killed my wife, he killed my son, you know. You will say this kind of thing when you are impatient. Nafs is asking you to become impatient to say this kind of thing. But you have to defeat your nafs by patience. By patience, become patient. Allahu Akbar. And say, no, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Who says this kind of thing? Who are patient. The person who is patient, he will say, we all are for God and we'll go back to God. Okay, they have gone before us and we will also join them. As we recite in ziyarat, inna inshallah bikum lahiqoon. Ziyarat of Imam Raza, what we recite? When we recite the dua of dead people, we say, you all have gone before us, but we will inshallah join you. The person who is patient, instead of accusing God, instead of cursing God, what will he do? He'll pray for his dad. He'll pray for his mother. He'll give charity on the behalf of his parents. He'll perform hajj on the behalf of his parents. This is patience. Now shaitan is trying, nafs is trying to involve us in impatience. When somebody is involved in impatience, when somebody is ghayr sabir, what happens? He forgets all these things. He doesn't pray for his dad. He doesn't pray for his mom. He doesn't perform hajj on the behalf of his dad. He only says, it's fault of God, he killed my dad. No, this is nafs. So defeat your nafs by patience. Defeat your nafs by the help of patience, by the help of sabr. Allahu Akbar. Salat al Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad, and Ajil Farajam. And this is very important, that if you are successful in patience, inshallah you can defeat your nafs. Nafs will try to destroy you, but by patience you can destroy nafs. Inshallah, we'll talk on these subjects later on, tomorrow and day after tomorrow, in these 10 days, that how can we defeat nafs? What are the other ways? As today I talked about patience, sabr, and inshallah we'll talk about prayer and other things inshallah, that how can we defeat our nafs, by which tools, by which ways we can defeat our nafs, because it is very important that we have to defeat our nafs, we have to kill our nafs, and if we don't defeat our nafs, we could become like Shimr. We could become like Ibn Sa'd. Ibn Sa'd was defeated by his nafs. Pay attention. Ibn Sa'd was one of the followers of Imam Hassan. Okay? In the time of Imam Hassan, he came to Imam Hassan and asked Imam Hassan to give us the permission so we could go and fight with Muawiyah. He was one of the friends of Imam Hassan. What happened that he came and killed Imam Hussein? Because of his nafs. He wanted to become the Hakim, the governor of Ray, Tehran. So what happened? Ibn Ziyad told him, you cannot become the governor of Ray unless you kill Imam Hussein. He said, I'm not going to kill. This was the voice of his ruh. But his nafs said, kill Imam Hussein. Don't you want to become governor of Ray? And you will seek forgiveness. Forgiveness. You will do tawbah later on. Pay attention. Another point. That if you are committing any sin with this intention that I will do tawbah, I will seek forgiveness. Forgiveness later on. Then your forgiveness is not accepted. Forgiveness is accepted when you made a sin, you committed a sin by mistake. Then you come and seek forgiveness, God will forgive you. But no, if you are committing any sin with this intention, okay, I will commit this sin, I will do this thing wrong, and after that I'll seek forgiveness. No, then you are not forgiven. So Ibn Sa'd became the cursed one. Why? Because he was defeated by his nafs. His ruh was defeated. That's why he became the cursed one. So it is very dangerous. If we were also defeated by our nafs, we could become Ibn Sa'd, we could become Shimr. Allahu Akbar, it is very dangerous. So therefore we have to defeat our nafs. We have to defeat our nafs, and our ruh should be the victorious. And when our ruh is victorious, at that time we have purified ourselves. So now I think it is, my time is finished. If brothers and sisters have any question, they can ask inshallah. The time is also limited for questions. I think it is 10 to 15 minutes inshallah. So if anybody has any question, can ask. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And please ask the questions related to the subject. As yesterday many questions were asked which were not related to the subject. So please ask questions which are related to the subject. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ba'ajjal farajam.
Why don't they accept infallibility of Prophet? Don't they recite all the verses which are informing us about the infallibility of Prophet?
Okay, it's a very important and good question sister asked. She said that you talked about infallibility of Prophet, that Prophet is infallible. So those people who reject the infallibility of Prophet, why they don't accept the infallibility of Prophet? Don't they recite all these verses which you have recited, or many other verses which are in Quran about infallibility of the Prophet? Very important point. Now here the problem with them is that they do the tafsir of Quran by themselves. They explain Quran on their own without asking from the successors of Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse number 32, ثُمَّ أَوْرَسْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. This Quran has successors. This Quran has heirs. And heirs of Quran are those who will inform you, who will explain Quran for you, who will do tafsir of Quran. Now the problem with these people, they do the tafsir of Quran by their own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you don't understand, if you don't know anything in Surah Nahl, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الزِّكْرِ. So ask from Ahlul Zikr. They are the successors of Quran. Who are Ahlul Zikr? So Prophet said, إِنِّي تَارِكُنْ فِيكُمُ ثَقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهُ وَعِتْرَةِ أَهْلُ بَيْتِ. My Ahlul Bayt are Ahlul Zikr. My Ahlul Bayt are those who will inform you, who will explain these verses of Holy Quran for you. So the problem with them is that they recite these verses, but هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They don't pay attention. They don't take the tafsir from Ahlul Bayt, the successors of Quran, the heirs of Quran. They explain it on their own, whatever they think. So that's right, that we go and ask the tafsir explanation of Quran from Ahlul Bayt, the successor of Quran. And this is wrong that we explain Quran on whatever we think. This is wrong that we think that, okay, this is the meaning of this and this is the tafsir of this and we accept it. No. tafsir of Quran, we have to ask it from Ahlul Bayt, the successor of Quran, the heirs of Quran. And what we do is this, we ask successors of Quran, we ask the tafsir from successors of Quran for heirs of Quran, and they don't ask from heirs of Quran. That's why they make mistakes. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraja. Yes, please.
You said Ahlul Bayt and all the prophets are infallible. They don't avoid, they don't commit sins. They avoid it. And my question is here: are they forced to do it, or they avoid these sins willfully? Because if Imams and Ahlul Bayt avoid sins willfully, then maybe we can use the same techniques that they have used.
Okay, this is also a very good question. The sister asked that you said that Ahlul Bayt are infallible. Imams are masoom, prophets are masoom, and because they are masoom, they are infallible, they avoid sins, okay? Now, are they forced to be prevented from committing sins? Oh no, they avoid sins willfully, yes. If they avoid sins willfully, we can learn the same techniques from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. We use the same techniques which they use, for avoiding sins, and we also avoid sins. And if they were forced to be prevented from committing sins, then we cannot follow them. Now here, I want to tell you, the same question was asked about Imam, from Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. A young man came to Imam, and he asked the same question. He said, Mawla, you are infallible, and you don't commit sins, but are you forced to be prevented from committing sins or no? You avoid sins willfully. Imam replied him, what did Imam say? Imam took him outside. Imam took him to butcher's shop. And Imam pointed towards a bunch of filthy, blood-clothed garbage. Imam pointed to that garbage. And Imam asked this young man, will you eat this? Imam asked him, will you eat? He asked this question from Imam, how do you avoid sins? Willfully, or you are forced to avoid sins? Imam took him to butcher's shop, and Imam asked him, this is a garbage, bunch of filthy, blood-clothed garbage. Imam said, will you eat this? The man said, disgusting, no, I cannot even think of eating this. I cannot even think of eating this. Pay attention. The man is saying, I cannot even think. Imam said, sins to us are same as this bad, blood-clothed garbage. Allahu Akbar. We see that how bad is the sin. That's why we don't commit sin. The problem with us, we don't know that how bad is this sin. Okay? You see the garbage, you see the blood-clothed, the rotten meat, you see the bad garbage you don't want to eat. You don't even think of eating that. Imam is saying, sins to us are same as this blood-clothed garbage. We see what a bad is it. That's why we avoid the sins willfully. And we have to same techniques. We have to see how bad is the sin, how bad sins are, and avoid these sins as Imam have informed us. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for this opportunity which you given us.
You're welcome.
And may I request you to discuss briefly because of shortage of time. Does the animals have souls or ruh?
It's very good, which is related with our second subject. Does the animals have ruh? It is very important. Does the animals have soul? Allahu Akbar, it's very important. We were talking about tazkiyatun nafs, okay? That Prophet's message is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ تَزْكِيَةٌ نَفْسِ. This is the message of Prophet. Now, we discussed on تَزْكِيَةٌ نَفْسِ, but here the question arises that does the animals have soul? And I'll ask another question. Does the angels have nafs? Okay? Listen, animals don't have ruh. That's why animal is the one who doesn't know what I'm eating, whether it is halal or haram. Animal is the one who doesn't care whatever I'm eating. Does it belong to me or it is somebody else's? Okay? If I'm a human being and I'm eating haram without looking whether it is halal or haram, if I'm eating somebody's thing, somebody's food, somebody's money, so I'm like animal. Animal doesn't have ruh. Animal doesn't have soul. So animal doesn't understand whatever I'm eating. Does it belong to me or it is somebody else's? Okay? Now, the second point. Angels, they don't have nafs. Angels pray. There's nothing which misguides them towards bad thing. There's no bad power which takes the angels towards wrong way. You see, angels are in ruku, in sajda, they're continuously in the same situation. They don't commit sin. They don't do anything against God. They don't disobey God because they don't have nafs. And here, animals don't have ruh. So therefore it is being called, if you defeated your nafs, you can become better than angels. And if you were defeated by your nafs, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا, then you are like animal, even worse than animals. So this is, I think, the best reply which I can give. I think we are a little bit out of time. Any other question?
How many topics of passions are there?
Okay, how many types
How many types of passions are there?
How many types of patience? This is your question. Brother is asking how many types of patience are there. So there are three types of patience. As-sabr ala al-musibah, which we talked about, that if you face any calamity, any difficulty, any problem, okay, you be patient. The second, as-sabr ala ta'a, be patient on the ta'a. What does this mean? What does this mean? As-sabr ala ta'a. What does this mean? It's a very big subject. I think the time is limited, but let me explain it briefly. As-sabr ala ta'a. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pray, namaz-e-fajr, fajr prayer. You are tired, you slept at 2 o'clock last night, and after 2 hours, it is fajr prayer's time, and your nafs is saying, sleep, don't get up, you are tired, and actually you are tired, okay? But Allah is saying, as-sabr ala ta'a, be patient and get up and pray namaz-e-fajr. Or for example, in the middle of night, your dad, your mom asked you to give them a glass of water. Now don't say, oh my dad, oh mama, I don't want to bring a glass of water for you. You go and bring it yourself. Why don't you go yourself? This is nafs. Nafs will tell you, go and tell to your mom, go and tell to your dad. Then do it yourself. What's to me? But ruh is saying you should be obedient to your parents. Be obedient to your mom and dad. When your mom and dad are asking you to give us a glass of water, even in the middle of night, get up, be patient, and give them a glass of water. Or you are watching cartoon, and suddenly your mom came and she said, go and throw this garbage outside. Don't say, you go and do it yourself. Rather say, okay, be patient, and listen to your mom, listen to your dad, listen to your parents. Or for example, in Ramadan, it is 15 hours fasting, 20 hours sometime in some countries, and it is too hot. Now, nafs will say, don't fast. You're hungry. You'll feel thirsty. But Allah is saying, be patient. Be sabir and fast. If you are tired coming back from your job in the evening for namaz-e-maghrib, nafs will tell you, sleep for a while for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Because in the beginning, nafs will never tell you, don't pray. In the beginning, nafs will say, sleep for 5 minutes. Sleep for 10 minutes. And then, when you'll get up, you'll see you've missed your namaz. So, nafs will tell you sleep and don't pray. And you are tired. But Allah is saying, as-sabr ala ta'a. Be patient and pray. This as-sabr ala ta'a, the third thing, as-sabr ala al-ma'asiyah. This is the most difficult type of patience. As-sabr ala al-ma'asiyah. That, what does this mean? That a sin is right in front of you. A sin is available right in front of you. And no one is looking at you. You can eat haram. You can commit any sin. You can commit adultery. You can go to pub. You can go to club. No one is looking at you. The sin is right available in front of you. You can commit that sin and nobody is looking at you, because mostly people don't commit sin. Why? Because they say, somebody's looking at me. But when you have this opportunity to go and commit the sin, and you are patient, you are not committing sin. And this is as-sabr ala al-ma'asiyah, which is very difficult. This is the most difficult type of patience, that the sin is in front of you. You can commit the sin, and you are not committing the sin. And inshallah, we'll talk on this subject tomorrow, inshallah. I think we are really out of time. Inshallah, we'll discuss on this subject, two subjects which we are discussing, status of Prophet and message of Prophet, peace be upon him. Inshallah, we'll ask God to help us to be successful in defeating our nafs. Salatul Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.